You know, we taught the 70 weeks of Daniel, and then we went through the book of Revelation to a great degree. And then we went through Daniel is to make reference and comparisons to show that it was the same vision that Daniel had as to what John had. But the difference was, it was said to Daniel to seal up the book. See, seal it up. Daniel was fasting and praying and asking God what would befall the Jews, that is to say, his people, in the end time. And God showed it to Daniel, but Daniel couldn't understand it. It was within the veil. It was not yet beyond Calvary. The veil had never been rent. And so he said, seal it up, Daniel. But then when John had the same vision, it was beyond Calvary. The veil had been rent. And he said, see that ye seal it not, for the time is at hand. See, as to the rent veil. All right, now, let's just go back for a few minutes back to Daniel and discuss one or two things and review a little bit of these things that we said. I could take hours and hours in the book of Daniel just to point out some things to you. Let's read from chapter 8 of the book of Daniel. Let's read just a little of this. Chapter 8, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan, in the palace which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Elah. Then I lifted up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come closer unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, and the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice for reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Elah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Grisha, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now there, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice, as shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's business. I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Now we've got some teachings. We've already taught on the different animals and on the image, and we brought out as to what it was and what nations it was and what it had to do with in that day and what it has to do with in our day. So we're not going to elaborate on that. But if you'll notice, the thing that we spoke to you about the last time had to do with whether or not there are going to be any Christians going through the tribulation. Remember? I proved to you by the book of Daniel and by the book of Revelation that there definitely will be the holy people. Again, you hear him say that this vision shall be under 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. It's obvious that the ruling power of Lucifer as the Antichrist is 3.5 years, beginning from the middle of the week. Whereas that is where the covenant is broken. For the Bible said he shall confirm the covenant for 1 week, which means 7 years, the last week of Daniel. And in the midst of the week it shall be broken, which takes you over to Revelation 12 as to the midst of the week and the war in heaven. Notice this now, the war in heaven, read it in the book of Revelation. What does it say? Look at it in Daniel, the 12th chapter of Daniel. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So you see, he's pointing from Daniel 12 to Revelation 12, where Michael the great prince stands up for the Jews, even thy people, he said. And if you'll notice what I read to you here, it said 2,300 days, and then the sanctuary will be cleansed, which evidently indicates that picking up in the middle of the week, and then the Antichrist being done away with, then the purging of the sanctuary, and then the coming in of the Master. We're sanctified as the temple of God, then comes in the Spirit as the Master. And as to the natural Jews, they sanctify a natural temple, and then comes in their natural Master into that temple. They ordain him the king, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. So it says here that during this period of time, that this great power, even the Antichrist, will be there. And who is he? Remember when the notable horn of the he-goat was broken, which had to do with Alexander the Great. Out of that come four little horns, and that had to do with the four generals. If you'll check it out in history, it's exactly four generals. And then out of one of these horns came a little horn that waxed great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land, which is the Holy Land, and that is the Antichrist. And of course, the animal or beast that had the two horns, they were broken. This ram, they were broken. And they had to do with the Medes and the Persians as to their great army. And it really has a significance as back to what the beast is composed of in the book of Revelation. And then, of course, the lion, you remember, we read about, not tonight, but before, had to do with the great Babylonian kingdom. All right, so then we see then, it says here, that during this time, listen at it real good now, it says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, speaking of the king of Grecia and the great horn, and this little horn, it says, during the time of the kingdoms of these horns, Well, as there'll be a repeat of this, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, that is at the end of their kingdom will rule thus and thus, and that it started in the days of Daniel. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. This man will be no ignoramus that will come on the scene as Antichrist. He will understand it. He speaks of the dark sentences. He will understand things that are hid from the average mind. The average mind won't be able to get it. Won't be able to go into it. This power will be able to go beyond the human reasoning to go into things and find answers to make craft prosper as to worldly prosperity, as to the government, as to the constraint. It says he will understand dark sentences, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. That is, the serpent will give him his power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. That's what I want to point out to you. See, what will he do? He will destroy the holy people. See, now, if he destroys holy people, then this positively means, as I pointed out concerning Daniel the other day, that in his time of regime, there has to be some holy people. And in that his time of regime is the tribulation period, there has to be some holy people in that time, or he could not destroy the holy people. And it's very evident that if it says Daniel will stand up, or rather Michael will stand up, and it says it in the book of Daniel, pointing to Revelation 12, it's very evident that here, when John sees this vision in heaven, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. In that this is the casting out, Michael standing for his people, the woman and the sun, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, 12 stars upon her head, crying in travail, waiting to be delivered. The red dragon standing right before the woman to devour the child just as quick as the child is born. And we're right there at that place. If I had about 3 hours tonight, I could bring some things that might really thrill your heart. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That is, through that tribulation period, as from the middle of the week on over to the cleansing of the sanctuary, in that it is at this particular time, right here, Revelation 12, that she goes into the wilderness, the man-child is caught up, and then at the end of the 3.5 years, the tribulation ends, and the battle of Armageddon comes, and then between during this period, the 3.5 years of Antichrist, God pouring out his wrath, Babylon the great falls, and then comes the millennium. And then after 1,000 years comes the great white throne of judgment, or New Jerusalem, as to the new earth. But it says here, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I'm just trying to hurry along here just to bring out a thought or two. It says, eat it. It'll be bitter to the belly, but in a mouth, sweet as honey. Taste and see if the Lord is sweet. But in that it's against the serpent, and the serpent is on his belly, it's going to be bitter to the generation that is out yonder, that is on their belly. For he put the serpent on the belly to make them eat of the dust of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go all the days of thy life. And in that it is a generation of vipers, it's going to be bitter to the belly. And in that you yourself are born to the first man, Adam, that means that you're going to have to die. The belly is going to have to die. All of man's labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. He is of the generation of vipers, and he's going to be bitter to the belly. So it says here that at the sounding of the last trump, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. See, and it said at that time, and the seventh angel sounded, Revelation 11:15, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. See, the seven thunders, the finishing of the mystery, and then the last angel sounding, and the mystery is finished. We brought it out. He that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the original rendering of this is the finishing of the secrets. And it says here, at the sounding of the last trump, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, which proves that's the end of the world. It says, and the nations were angry, just exactly like you see them in the Persian Gulf right now. They were angry, and the nations were angry. For it said, thy wrath has come, speaking of God's wrath, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that is the resurrection. And this was, of course, what Daniel was told. Many of them shall sleep in the dust, and at that time, Michael the great prince shall stand up. Many of them that sleep in the dust shall be awakened. Here, following this statement, Revelation 12, and Michael stands for his people. See, it all fits together just like a glove. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. They trod underfoot the city 42 months. The two witnesses come to prophesy, Moses and Elijah, the candlesticks before God, the olive trees. They come. See, at that time, they come. Like a voice that spoke to me the other day about something. Something that's happening right now. So at that time, see, they come. Now, it's like the different things that's happening right now. There's the truck down in a place called Ingram. Today, Michael Ingram comes in. The truck, as to what significance? Coming from Brother Wilson, coming from Bullfrog Corner, being there, sitting there when the white tent was there, back to what Brother Branham spoke of, and this truck having rode across it, the sounding of the last trump, the seventh angel sounding, and then from that, it goes down to Appalach. From that, it goes over to Mr. Ingram's. From that, the law is thus folded up and laid away, because all of them is corrupt down there. And it has great significance. As I said concerning Sun Harbor, I can't detail these things, but I was going through quite a number of these things today, just standing up yonder in the conveyor. Numbers of brethren was there. Brother Roger, you was there. And we went through just numbers of things, not detailing it, but just in a compact way, as to tie all these things together that would take us a long time to tie together right here. Isn't that right, Brother Roger? And it shows it just precisely, even to Sun Harbor, as to the woman standing in the sun, as to what it had to do with the catching up. And see, right here, if I just took time to elaborate on it, it would just take hours. But just pointing back to this, that we spoke of during the tribulation period, there would be saints going through there. And then as to Michael standing, that it positively ties in with the book of Daniel. It's one and the same vision. And then if you'll look, and I stood upon the sands of the sea, Revelation 13, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. I haven't brought this out in the last few lessons, but I did here not too long ago. We got it on tape. Here it comes up out of the sea. What sea is that? It's the sea that we saw when we was over yonder, the Mediterranean Sea, right over there where we saw that thing when we was in Israel. See, it comes up out of the sea. And right now, they're around the Persian Gulf. They're right in there around the place. See, and it speaks of the great whore, her desolation coming in 1 hour, which has to do with Rome. And I said the other day, just across the Gulf from where Gaddafi is Rome. And Rome has finally got into this thing. At last, Italy's got into it. Her ships has pulled out there too. And I said, right at this particular time, they've come up with some kind of a bomb or mechanism. I remember something about it just a few months back, that they say it takes exactly 1 hour for the devastating blow. And they are right over there across from Gaddafi. And here, not too long ago, out of the problems, there was something dropped along in there getting pretty close. See, that is to say, this thing is all lined up. Everything is just lined up just perfect. The nations are angry. Everything is just right. Everything is just right. And it appears that all of these people are gathering in around there, you know, as to against Gaddafi. But that's not really it. They are gathering in there to protect their rights. You know, Laodicea, the people's rights. They're in there to protect their rights. And they don't really agree with America, but they're afraid of America. So then, they are in there, but see, what we know and they don't know is that they're not there for the purpose that the average individual would think, especially the news medias and those that follow the news medias and those kind of things. They're not there for that purpose. God said concerning Israel as to the latter times, I will gather all nations in and around or against Jerusalem. I will gather them in. And that's why I brought out the things the other night about half of them fleeing from Israel, from the city of Jerusalem, and then going out and half of them being left. And it's what it had to do with the earthquakes and the rent veil and the city dividing in half. And the Mount of Olives dividing in half as he returns with his feet upon the Mount of Olives, the ones that you stood on over there. See, so we know there's a real Holy Land. We know this ain't no myth. This ain't no joke. This ain't something, you know, that we just think is taking place. All of the proof is here. It's there. All right, we see the papacy of Rome rising up. So we know that they're gathering in around Jerusalem. God is drawing them in around Jerusalem. And when the Antichrist moves in and he makes craft to prosper and everything just shapes up just perfect to where everybody will praise and love him because they love prosperity and the world loves their own, all of a sudden Israel will rebel and won't go into the boycott and won't be in the United Nations Pact. And Israel will rebel when they realize that the man is making himself God and that he's going to want to get into God's sanctuary and set his leadership up there. They're going to get upset. When they withdraw, then the Bible says he'll have control of all the earth. All of the nations. I brought that out the other night. All the families of the earth. And it says tidings out of the east shall trouble him. Tidings out of the east. That means that out of Jerusalem, the rumors will come. You may have the rest of them, but we're waiting for Messiah. He's coming. Messiah's coming. And that'll trouble him because he has control of all the world. And then the Bible said he'll fiercely go forth. All of the nations under his leadership gathered in around Jerusalem. Fiercely go forth to destroy Israel. And that's when the Son of God appears in the heavens on the white horse and comes back to fight for Israel. So I said all that to say this. What is happening right now as to our personal ministry is a third phase of the thing. And we brought out some things concerning Jeff, concerning the new harvest, concerning a few things that took place over in Jeffersonville not too long ago. Maybe I'll relate just one or two and then close out. Some of you remember the meeting that we had with Brother Woods. We went up to Brother Woods' place. As a matter of fact, Rick drove the bus up on this particular occasion. So we went up to Brother Woods' place. We had a little luncheon. We went over to some place for lunch during the time that we were up there. Well, we ate, we left, and we started out the road. Brother Clyde left, started out behind us, and we come to a conglomeration of intersections. When we did, Clyde missed his road and he went one way and I went the other way. And so we went off separated from each other, which had great significance. Then with this, I went around a certain way and I come back through another area. And Brother Jerry Lambert, I'm sure, remembers this. I come around and here on the corner, it looked like somebody had harvested fields and emptied it all on one corner. Because pumpkins was out here, watermelons and cantaloupe and Indian corn and cucumber squash, all kind of things. I mean, it was just fantastically beautiful, all kind of color. Well, I just couldn't resist it. I just had to stop and go in there because I saw Indian corn of blue, red, green, yellow, all on one cob, you know, or stalk, as to the way that I planted it when I was a boy and saw it come out like that. And I picked up some of it, and Jerry got a picture of it. I believe it was you, Jerry, that took that picture. Jerry took a picture of it. And then Jerry got his camera, and he took some pictures of me and Betty in the midst of that, and then we took some pictures of him and the wife in the midst of that on the video. Well, that has been quite a long while. Nobody's messed with those pictures. They've just been laid aside. Nobody's bothered them. But all of a sudden, when I said this at this point has to do with the catching up, out of the corner, without anybody really realizing it, no intentions, hadn't listened to what I said, but because of what God had inspired them to do at this time, out comes the picture where I'm standing in the big chair over, and the best, supposed to be the biggest chair in the world, over in Thomasville, and of course we just had another meeting there. And, you know, the catching up, witnessed by the law and the prophets, is brought out so beautifully as to the law standing out there watching. They wouldn't let nobody do it. It was out, but they worked it out for us and gave us law protection. Then out comes the pitches of the new harvest, and all of a sudden they're going to run them in the books and whatever. And here I am standing holding the Indian corn. See, all of a sudden, right at this time, when I speak of this third phase of our ministry as being caught up. See, this move of God, and what I understand, is the third, last, and final move of God. And now it has come down as a 1, 2, 3 to the last phase, as a third part of this one move, as being the third of the last move of God. So, here in this, it's the catching up, which means the sealing in. That is your spirit caught up because the stars are falling from heaven. All of a sudden, all the conglomeration of things, the lights going out, the reflectors falling, the old dragon, the moon getting ready to turn to blood. That is to pounce on the church, the Jim Jones thing. See, it's all leading up to that. So down goes the church as to what has been the church. And we know that's not the church. It's reflectors. But because that goes down, then it gives the others a chance to pounce on the church because the grace isn't to them anymore. See, and then they get bitter. The Bible said when Lucifer's cast out, the old dragon, the generation of vipers, when they're not in the presence of God anymore, when the blood is taken off the seat of atonement, Revelation 8, the sounding of that last trumpet as to Revelation 8, the finishing of the mysteries, then they're bitter. They've lost their standing. They've lost their status of life. The carnal mind that thought it was so great to note everything looked on the preachers like they were a bunch of juniors. And all of a sudden, they find out they're not great. And they're bitter. They've lost their prestige. They've lost their money. See, so then they pounce on us to kill you, to think they do God a service. And here they are pouncing on you, the moon turning to blood, having to do with the killing. And all of a sudden, the papacy of Rome, the Roman powers magnify them, says, we're the church. You've seen the Jim Baker thing. You've seen the Jim Jones thing. That proves there's nothing to them. But now the papacy, now the Roman powers. So you see the church still standing. And then that's what brings in the ecclesiasticals and the control and the bewitching, as Paul spoke of. So with this, all of the lights going out, everything is at this point right now. The mysteries are coming to a finish. All this thing happening right now, the declaration even is on the flag out there. The kingdom of this world having become the kingdom of God and of our Christ. The nations are now angry. Michael is getting ready to stand for his people. See, all nations is being gathered around into the east, right where the out of the midst of those war powers, out of those waters, comes the beast of Revelation 12. This beast, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. See, back to the papacy control. And, of course, we brought that out. We couldn't go into it tonight, but 5 are fallen, 1 is and 1 is not, and the other is of the 7 that is to come. See, having 7 heads and 10 horns, that is to say, of the confederation of the 10 common market nations that will confederate under the leadership of this man right over in the area, because he will make craft to prosper. And that's all he's got to do is get control of the markets of the world. So in this, he will be so powerful in his armed forces that the Bible said, who can make war against him? He just does what he wants to. And I told you the other day, I said, the papacy coming over here, the papacy going to Germany and other places is doing one thing. It is like a solicitation to find out everybody that will follow him, and then he will have the power to legislate and to put into office whomsoever he will. For he'll put up who he will and take down who he will, as it was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible said he killed whom he would and he kept alive whom he would. So it is obvious that this beast is about ready to rise up out of them waters over there. Now remember, when you say beast, it's like Daniel's vision. God showed a lion, God showed a ram, God showed a goat. He looks on people as beasts because they're not sons of God. They are beasts. And he looks on them according to the beast. Like he said concerning Herod, go tell that fox. He judges them according to their ways. So then here comes a beast. This is a strange beast that's coming up here. And I brought it out as to his feet, as to his head, the leopard body, the bare feet, as to the lion mouth, and these kind of things as to what it was. And it is a combination or a constitution, generally speaking. This is what it is, a constitution or combination of the very same forces, armies, and beast that was rulers in the days of Daniel. And that's why the Bible said in the latter part of their kingdom. Because it started in the days of Daniel, it's moved down through the years, and they've grown powerful, and today they go under different names as Russia and different places. But it's still the same beast. It's still the latter part of their kingdom. It's still the kingdom that the four generals started as to branch off. And in the latter part of their kingdom, that is down here in our day. So here comes the beast up out of the waters. Now, he was blasphemed the tabernacle of God, whose tabernacle we are. And it was given unto him to make war with saints and to overcome them. And it says here, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So there you are again. It shows that he's going to be the all-powerful one. He's going to have control. And it indicates again that he's going to have power over the holy people as to kill them and to destroy them. This has never been in the history of mankind. Never before. Satan hath never had power over the holy people. They've always been over him. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, even Satan that savors the things of the flesh, the prince of the world. But at that particular time, grace is going to be lifted. At that particular time, Satan is going to be chief ruler of the earth. And at that particular time, he's going to consolidate, going to bring about the mark, and the people of God, of course, will not take it. And at that time, he will kill them. And at that time, Israel, as to the birth of the man-child, that is, these that are coming in this revelational mind of Christ, as to the catching up, these right now are going into the third heaven. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven, we brought this out on tape. So as to one mind, as to man's mind, as to Satan's mind, as to God's mind. See, and now we're being caught up right now, as Paul was to the third heaven. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the mind of God, and it is the mind of the Lord Jesus as to the church. And Paul was caught up in it and exhorted us that we should let this be in us. And now those that are for that dimension and those that are for the bride and those that are for the church will have the mind of Christ as to the translation. And this is the translation. From glory to glory. And the Bible says, for God hath already, by the works of Jesus Christ, translated us, as far as his mind is concerned, into the marvelous kingdom of our God. And the Bible said, Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. The mystery of God that are of Paul, that as of this revelation, we shall not all sleep. That is at the time of the end. At the time of the end. And so then, the ones that are coming into this, really comes into this, they won't sleep. See, because they are moving into another dimension. And when they move into that dimension, whereas right now, the blood is on the seat of atonement, the grace is over, everybody, for Jesus took away the sins of the world. As to giving grace, rain upon the unjust and the just. And so then the church is right in there as the just. But God is going to take it to another dimension now. And when the blood comes off, the next dimension is the spirit dimension. It's not the blood dimension. Therefore, the blood will come off of the seat of atonement, and blood life can no longer come into the presence of God. The way Satan got into the presence of God in the days of Job was getting inside of human beings, as was foresaw, as to graced. But when the grace is gone, that will be, as it was said concerning Sodom and Gomorrah, the day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the same day fire and brimstone came. So then, when the church is gone, the grace will be no more. The blood will be off the seat of atonement. That will mean that Satan has fallen from grace. He's been cast out, fallen from grace. That could be you. That could be anybody. If you don't have his spirit on the inside of you, that will be you. You can be as religious as you want to right now. You can have the blessings of God right now. The rain on the unjust. You can have healing. You can be a believer. You can do all these things. You can have all those benefits right now. But just as quick as the blood comes off the seat of atonement, the Bible said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. That's the end of it. So I want to say this again in closing. Right now, you're in heaven. You're in heaven. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you think you're in heaven? Well, I'm not only in heaven. For them people out there that's eating and drinking and riding, they're in heaven. John said, I saw this devil in heaven, as to the red dragon, as to the bloodline. That is to say grace, that's second heaven. And see, they're in heaven. And I say again, when you can get something to ease pain for teeth, pain for the body, eat, drink, and be merry, that's heaven. Not the third heaven. That's the heaven the Bible speaks of that must pass away. Right now the stars are falling. So see, that's heaven. And I say once again, as I always say, if you're in doubt of that, wait till you go to hell, and then you can differentiate between heaven and hell, and you'll know that you've been in heaven. So this is, of course, the second heaven, and something is taking place. But folks, the third heaven is coming in now. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He had the revelational mind of Christ. He went up to the third heaven. Or somebody said, you couldn't do that. Jesus stood with Moses and Elijah right there in his human body. And then turned and walked right down the mountain. Said he appeared in glory. All right, let's stand together. The Bible said, in Christ in you is the hope of that glory. Certainly have a hope of it. It's given to me in the Lord. That's why I have a hope of it. But him is my atonement and grace. His spirit within my heart is the only hope I have of ever being in that glory or having that glory within me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Even the glory that he appeared in on the mountain with Moses and Elijah. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. So let's just sing a little chorus together, can we? How many glad to be here? Let me see your hand. All right. Let's sing the chorus we sing so often, Sweep Over My Soul. I just say these few little things to you tonight. I have so many things to say to you. Jesus said many things to say to you. But he spoke of being dull of hearing. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Or that is to say, great is the mystery of God. Or godliness. And I'm made a steward of the mysteries, Paul said. So we'll sing this song. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you sing it again?
We've
anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I believe that most of you can tell that the end of the world is here. I feel like you can. I feel like that you know that it's the end of the world. And again, Peter said unto them, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world come. Calvary, which is noted in Revelation 12, was the end of the world. But it wasn't made known to us except through the revelation of John, as the revelation of Jesus Christ as to the end of the world. Way over here in this day, in that the Bible tells us that we are to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation that you might be able to do this. For if there's healing in the atonement, when you hear it preached and you comprehend it, then you can have your healing. If there's salvation, so it is. If there's anything else, so it is. So then is to the fullness of the heights, the depths, the wisdom of God, as to the length, as to the finishing of the mysteries, as to the sounding of the last trumpet. Let's sing this little chorus, because this is the way I feel. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. So we don't want no gold or silver, and we don't want no diamond ring. All we want is the love of Jesus for to me. Can you sing it again? I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want no diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's everything. You love the Lord? I don't want gold and silver, and I don't want the diamond rings. I had those things. One time we had a chance for those things, and I had some of those things. And whereas now, I have every opportunity for those things. As a matter of fact, there's some jewels around. We could hang around Sister Betty's neck. But that's not what we want. See, that's not what we want. Paul said, counting all things as loss to obtain this wisdom, this great knowledge of God. See, that's what made the diamonds. That's what made the gold. That's what made the pearls. That's what gave the wisdom to make all the glitter and the glamour of the world. Isn't that right? All right, let's sing this song together. And while we're singing, the altars are open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross where I first saw the light,
and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am, sing it one more time. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day.
Are you ready for the bridegroom? Let's sing that song.
I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes.
Sing it again.
We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. Now be ready when the bridegroom comes. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all robed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride.
Sing it again.
Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all robed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride.
Can you give him a hand? Are you really ready for the bridegroom? Let me see your hand if you really feel that you're ready for the bridegroom. Hallelujah.
Well, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all robed in spotless white, and we're ready, singing with me again. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all robed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride.
One more time.
Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all robed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom to come.
Let's sing this chorus together, can we?
Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see?
Coming.
to carry me home was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming too. They're coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home.
See, right there is where Elijah stepped on board, went over the Jordan first, and then stepped on board. And see, that's what we're doing right now. To be carnally minded is death, the old carnal mind of the Jordan. Stepping over the Jordan into the mind of Christ now, going over to Canaan for that new harvest. As Brother Clyde got lost off at the intersection, it indicated the old harvest going out. As to Brother Clyde's natural life, his family who belongs to the Brother Branham side of it, as to the pommel worm, going back to that as to what some understand, the old harvest going out. And then when we had the snow down here and that of the Joseph Boots and Brother Morris sitting out there in the car and of Brother Cobb's crossing over the snowy season, coming over to this side when he took that trail of Cynthia, which related back to the spiritual side of Brother Clyde, as to that that had left the family and come out of the land of Egypt, that had come to this as to the spiritual side of it, it indicated the new harvest. That's why at men's meeting he said what he did the other night. And as to coming out of the natural side of Brother Clyde, which Clyde has been through a lot of things and he get melancholy and get all tore up. But as coming out of that, changing over to the Christ side, as to the spiritual side, as to the new harvest. That's what we saw in the corner over there. That's why they're pulling these things out right at this particular time. There is a new harvest. That which is old is ready to be folded up and laid away. And that's why it has to do with the law, having to do with the other side of Calvary, as to one thing and on this side another thing. And if we had time to elaborate on it, I feel sure you'd know what I'm saying. All right, let's sing this little chorus. Can we do that? Wonderful time, folks. He stepped over the Jordan, and when he stepped over the Jordan, then that chariot appeared. It didn't appear, Brother Gary, till he stepped over the Jordan. He never did see that chariot until he stepped over the Jordan. And when he stepped over the Jordan, he stepped on that chariot and away he went. And Elisha cried out, my father, and the horsemen thereof. The horses of Israel, he said, or the chariot of Israel. So there came forth a double portion. A double portion, which means redemption of the body. When Elijah received that double portion, he already had it in his spirit. When it struck his body, away he went. But the man that saw him get the double portion, he retained that in the earth as a double portion up to the spiritual man, which brings in the Jew and brings in the redemption of the body. And that's where we're standing right now. My father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. All right, let's sing that again. How many know there's a drought that's taking place? You remember I saw that drought a long time ago and saw everything turn to powder. You remember how it came to pass after we saw it? Remember that? It came to pass. And I saw everything fade away and a voice said, it's too late to write a book, too late to do anything. How many remember that? And all that drought hit, and you remember how that they died over in the foreign countries, how here in Monroe the picture showed the fields all dried up and broken, and what a horrible time was, even to the governor pleaded for water. Remember that? They pleaded for water. Hadn't been no water in many days. And the water tables were so low that it was a terrible crisis. And even the governor got religious. And he asked for water. Isn't that right? I said at that time I saw a man in the vision. A man was before me as in the congregation, and he went away. And that same man during that drought, right about that time he died, he went away. I don't know if you remember that or not, but he went away. And then I contacted the governor. God spoke to him, and I contacted the governor. I said, Mr. Governor, I spoke to him about God and the different things of his life and what God expected and what I would like for him to do. And he responded right hurriedly, and he said, I pray, my wife prays, we believe in prayer. He was very congenial. And I said, Mr. Governor, I'm going to call for water, and water's going to come. I said, I'm going to call for it, and it'll be here. I call for water, within a few days it comes. It hasn't ceased to rain since that time, until just recently. See, I spoke of that drought as to a carryover. Mr. Governor hasn't been doing too good. He's been doing real bad, not too religious anymore after he got the water. Ugly things. And so it has been with the rest of them. And so it is that the days of the Gentiles are at an end. But anyway, this is the thing that I'm speaking of right now. A lot we could say as pertaining to that, but right now it's a critical time. As a matter of fact, the drought that is on right now, Brother Bill understands, some of the others understand, but they said it is so bad now, and the water tables are so low that trees, 120 years old, that even if they get water, they won't make it. See, the forest, to a great extent, is gone. Why? Because he said, in that day, the trees shall be so few that even a child shall number them. You say, what's that got to do with it, Brother Pike? Even if we get rain now, it started raining tonight. What has that got to do with it? Because I told the brethren a number of weeks ago, I said, I heard a voice, and it said, Elijah called for a drought. Now, somebody said, what do you mean by that? Well, what did he mean by that? That's the thing. It's not what I mean by it, but what did he mean by it? How many know that the church of this hour is Elijah, and they're going out in a fiery chariot, and after that a double portion as to the Jews is coming in? And how many of you know that Brother Branham had to do with something as to that thing? Now, somebody said, well, then what happened? Elijah called for a drought. Said, well, where is he? He must have been somewhere. Because he heard it and he called for a drought. You said, well, you don't know that. Well, at least 120 years old needs water. It must have happened. It must have happened somewhere. Let's sing another chorus together. It was said here that during the tribulation period, there was something to happen. And in that, he said, and in that time, and we're moving toward that right now, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, and the fathers' hearts back to the children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And we're moving on, the days of the Gentiles. The drought indicates the holding back of the spiritual waters and the lights falling. Where is the spiritual water? The wells are drying up. The Jim Baker well, the Pat Robinson well, all these other people have been drinking from them. Right on down, the old Roberts well has been full of water for a long time. See, and on and on and on. Something is taking place. All right, let's sing another chorus together, can't we? The main thing is that here at Bethlehem, two or three gathered together, Jesus said, I'd be in the midst of you. How many believe he's here? I don't see where it'd be hard to believe that Elijah could come around if the Lord came around, do you? Let's give the Lord a hand. I praise God for everything that he's doing, what he's speaking to us about, and what he is directing our heart into. And I know the tribulation period is coming right in upon you. And I know that I'm a son of God. I don't profess to be nothing. Somebody came to me today, Brother Ingram, said, I want to know something. He said, do you claim to be the last messenger, the seventh messenger? I believe that's what he said. Wasn't that what he said, Steve? Where's Steve? Can't remember what he said now. I believe that's what it was. Wasn't that what he said, Steve? I said, I don't claim to be no kind of messenger. I claim to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. I claim that. By the grace of God, I claim to be a Christian. And I trust that you do the same thing. So, whether it be one or two or whatever, like Brother Dennis said one time, how many seventh messengers are there? And whether it's one or a half a dozen seventh messengers, I don't claim to be either one of them. I just claim to be a Christian. I am a Christian. But as in my vision, I was looking into heaven, and I saw the things that was happening in heaven. And Jesus did say, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And what I see my Father do, he said, I always do that. So to be led by the Spirit of God is to be a son of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you are a son of God. And what's greater than a son of God? So to be a son of God, I don't see anything that's disturbing about speaking about anything else as to prophets or whatever. But we're not looking for prophets. We're looking for Christ. Isn't that right? God hath in the days gone by spoke unto the people by the prophets at sundry times and divers manners, but hath in this last day spoken by the Holy Ghost, by his sons, his membership, by the body of Jesus, by his own son Jesus. Isn't that right? Said ye shall prophesy. And the prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So speaking by his son Jesus, even of the ministry, someone would say, Elijah speaking through the ministry, even of the ministry far excels that. For it said, it shall not be the minister, but God himself speaking. And all of them shall be taught of God. All right, let's sing another chorus. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That reminds me, somebody was telling me of a vision. Who was it was telling me of a vision? Roger, was it you? That you saw something coming to pass where everybody was going to look in the direction of something that was happening. I remember what it was. Who was it told me that? Michael, you told me that. Had to do with a movie, didn't it? The making of a movie, and it was bringing out us to the message. Isn't that right? And see, it appeared that everybody, maybe like all the world, was kind of moving in that direction, was going to come after that. Well, whatever it is, and it had to do with the inspirational, didn't it? The inspiration. And I said that probably had to do with Rick and them, that they, something about a building they was about to get, where they're going to have a singing for the inspirations. Or it's the inspiration of the buildings. Is that what it is, Rick? Inspiration Hall. But anyway, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm here. I want to sing that song, Time Shall Be No More. Now, we brought out this thing about the sounding of the trump, the end of the world, time, all these things, mysteries. We brought them out. But then we come back the other night, and we said to you, time shall continue on. But we explained how it would continue on and to whom it would continue on with, didn't we? Amen. So you have to understand what we're saying. Let's sing that little chorus. And I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And time shall be no more, no more. And time
shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land and time shall be.
I remind you again, the Bible said it, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made under the law, made of a woman. In the fullness of time, and brought out a few things concerning the fullness of time as to what it had to do with, back to Calvary, back to Daniel 12, back to Revelation 12, back to Michael, the great prince, standing for His people. Things are so precision. I noticed Mike Ingram coming in today. I noticed in the last few days, Michael over here starting to play the guitar for us. And we spoke of Mike. We spoke of the different things that the different ones have to do with. And there's some things taking place, folks. There are some things taking place. Little things take place from time to time. Little things take place that are keys that unlock mysteries, or little things that you never notice. The foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Nothing don't get by him. He's judged of no man, because of all the criticism and the fault finding, you can't lay anything to his charge. But he judgeth all things. He knows what's happening. Like somebody said, well, what's happening with this Weinberger going out? Real plain. Brother Mike, you asked that question. We answered, it was real plain, wasn't it? See, all things have a meaning. Everything is of significance. But unless we're looking in heaven, we don't understand it. Unless we judge it spiritually, we don't know. But in that we're spiritual people, we're searching for the spirit of revelation, that God might reveal all things to us. You have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. You have the right to it. So we'll sing that again, and then we'll close.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land and time shall be.
Just one more time.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea, and the land and time shall be no more.
Let's give him another hand, can we? All right, we're going to close right here. I'd like to say this. It's good to be a Christian, isn't it? It's good to understand. And I was just thinking, you know, a lot of times we say a lot of things, and that's good if we know what we're speaking of. A lot of things. And I was thinking about a thing my wife said. I just wanted you to pray about this. You know, it's good to know what you're talking about before you say something. Brother Chuck, he was telling me about something that would really be a benefit to the printing program and to our songs, you know. And those songs of the Lamb have a great significance, especially the kids coming together at this time to sing. Great significance. But he told us we could get it for... He said $3,500. My wife told me I didn't have no worry. I will get it. I said, are you sure that you'll get it, Betty? She said, I'll get it. I said, okay, I believe you got the faith, Betty. So Chucky came back today and said there was a little mistake in it. He said it was $35,000. Let's give the Lord a hand. Sister Betty said she'd get it. I tell you, it's a superb thing. It's really outstanding. It's just strictly professional, and it would speed up production and help us get the gospel out to a lot of hungry souls. A lot of hungry souls. And after all, what's $35,000 if Sister Betty believes? Let's everybody slip our hands up together. God bless you. The Lord loves you. I love you. I know you love us. And you can feel my infirmities and Sister Betty's infirmities, so we'll all pray together. And sometimes I get my foot into it, and she helps me out, and sometimes she gets her foot into it, and I help her out. And so we all going to just have to work together and see if we can't do something, because you ain't supposed to go around saying things you know that you ain't going to do. All right. While you're standing there, I think I'll ask Ron to come up and pray, if he will. Ron has really been stirred up over some things, and God has revealed some things to him. And he and Don, and Ron said, "It's for sure, Brother Pike, as to what God's revealed to me, I realize now that I didn't know." All right, Brother Ron.